Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Kanier, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. Thank you for joining us today. For those of you that may not know, it is CPR/AED month. Now, I know those are acronyms for something. And so my guest today, Stephen Fish. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. He is going to explain all that to us and our listeners today. So Stephen Fish, this is the first time I've met him, and it's been such a pleasure. We've been talking for at least 15, 20 minutes prior to starting the show. He's the operation manager for Cottage Hope Ambulance, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But besides that, you wear many, many hats.
I do.
So do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about you? And again, remember, we only have 15 minutes.
Sure, I'll try and be quick. So I started my career in EMS back in 1977 when I was in high school. Got my EMT in 1979. Became a paramedic in 1986. In addition to being the operations manager for Cottage Hose Ambulance, I'm also an EMS instructor for Luzerne County Community College. So I teach their one credit CPR class. Mm-hmm. I also teach the spring EMT class at the Pittston Center. And I'm also the clinical coordinator for the paramedic program at Luzerne County Community College.
Mm-hmm. Also, I can say is, wow, you do a lot. And, you know, but, you know, everything that you talked about is so important to our communities. No doubt about it, besides your service, you know, as a paramedic, you know, within the Cottage Hope Ambulance Company, to the trainings that you provide to our community and to these students. So thank you. If I don't thank you, thank you for everything that you do. I know you use some acronyms. EMS. What does EMS stand for?
Emergency Medical Services.
Mm-hmm. And many people hear that, right?
Yes.
But they don't necessarily know, because a lot of things fall under that.
Correct.
Right? You know, you have your ambulance, but you also have your fire, correct?
Right. So ambulance would be typically under your emergency medical services. Fire would be under your emergency services.
Mm-hmm.
So the umbrella would be emergency services itself.
Right. Okay. And that's a lot. So what we're here to talk about is CPR and AED. So let's take CPR. What does CPR stand for?
Cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Right. And what is that?
So you find somebody who is unconscious, they're unresponsive, you know, you can assess them for a pulse. They have no pulse, they're not breathing, their heart has ceased, their brain activity is starting to stop as well. So we need to do something, right? So we would begin CPR. So we would start chest compressions and ventilations.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know, you know, people should, or there are certification classes that you could take. That's what I should say. There are CPR classes that individuals can take, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Not all the people, you know, maybe know about them or know the importance of it. How important should, or who should, you know, learn CPR?
It's hugely important. Anybody could learn CPR,
mm-hmm.
From a teenager up to whoever is physically capable of doing that, because you never know where you're going to be, whether mm-hmm. it be on the street, shopping, grocery store, mall. Somebody could have some sort of medical emergency, collapse in front of you, and you could be the difference maker for them and their family.
Right, right. And has CPR, like the techniques change, or do they change over the years?
It does change a little bit. Typically every 5 years, the American Heart Association will put out new science,
mm-hmm.
Because they've, you know, looked at all of the data that's out there, and they may adjust and they may change things from time to time to increase the survival rates.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, when we look at like the CPR training, I know I've done it many years. I really need to get back and do that again. I know some basic guidelines, but, you know, some people that may not have received any training and they come across someone laying on the ground that may be unconscious that you mentioned and they don't know how to do CPR. What's the first thing they really should do?
Sure. For the first thing they really need to do, everybody has a cell phone these days,
mm-hmm.
right? So the first thing they want to do is dial 911. And here in the community, that phone call is going to go to the Wayne County 911 Center, who has some of the best trained dispatchers out there. They're going to, you know, request an ambulance. The dispatcher is going to ask them several questions. And if that patient is in cardiac arrest, those dispatchers are actually trained to give direction over the phone to that caller on how to perform CPR on that individual that may be unconscious, unresponsive, with no pulse and no breathing.
Right, which is a great resource to anyone out there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, some people are hesitant to do that because of liability.
They are.
Are they protected?
They are. There is no liability on them at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how good does someone feel when they could actually save someone's life or at least keep their heart pumping?
Sure. The feeling is tremendous, right, that, you know, you were able to make a difference not only in somebody's life, but also in their family's life.
Right, right. You know? And I'm sure you feel that almost every day that you go out on a call, right?
Sure.
Which is awesome. The next thing is AED, because those are two different things. CPR and AED are totally different things, correct?
That is correct.
What is AED?
AED stands for Automated External Defibrillator. So they are all over right now. Mm-hmm. They are made for the average layperson. Many different types, many different styles. However, the operating systems are all pretty much the same. There's a button where you turn it on and the machine will actually talk to you and tell you what to do so that it's got a very nice calming voice. It will tell you, you know, that you need to remove the patient's clothing, put the pads on. The pads have pictograms on them. So when you look at that pad, it shows you exactly where you should put it on that patient.
Wow.
Once it's set up, it will analyze the patient. And if it's in a rhythm that it needs to deliver electrical energy to, it will tell you that a shock is advised. It will tell you to clear the patient. It will say clear, and it will tell you to press the button to deliver that shock. And if the patient happens to be in that ventricular fibrillation, in that rhythm, that's actually a correctable rhythm with that shock. So if we can get there in time with that AED, that's huge.
Right, which is awesome. And I know there are many places out, like churches, sporting events or fields now that have these AED, you know, machines for that reason.
Absolutely. And every basic light support ambulance is mandated to have them. Most of the police departments, they have them in their cars. A lot of the fire apparatus anymore carry them as well, because you never know who the first one is going to be on scene, right, or if there is not one that's readily available.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, which is incredible. And again, having that, you know, instructions from the machine, you know, to tell you whether or not you really need to use it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Is also a safeguard for anyone that may come across.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. Which it is sure is. Really important. You know, again, you know, we talked about this, you know, with the CPR, even with, you know, AED. But if you find someone unconscious, the best thing to do is always call 911.
100%, absolutely.
Right, and everyone is trained. You know, we could actually talk about probably some of the cases that you go out to, all the calls you go out to, you know, but we are going to focus on, like, you know, the CPR and the AED, you know, oftentimes that may be related to heart.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. And for those of people who may not know, Wayne Memorial Hospital, we have our, you know, heart vascular lab. We're also a chest pain center, right?
Yes, that's correct.
You know, and then coming back around to why somebody would use CPR or an AED related to heart, how can someone, you know, keep themselves healthy, or are there signs or symptoms that people may know it may be something related to their heart?
Sure. I think the best thing to do is obviously, you know, stay in contact with your primary care physician, you know, see them once or twice a year. If you're on any sort of medication regimen, you know, be compliant with that. If you develop any signs or symptoms, so if you develop chest pain, difficulty in breathing, maybe left arm numbness, signs and symptoms from gentlemen to ladies vary a little bit. Typically, ladies, you know, will have maybe some sort of indigestion or whatever. You know, you should immediately call 911 so that you can get help. Please don't try and drive yourself to the hospital, because if something were to happen on the way, you know, we wouldn't want that. You know, we can do things in the ambulance, you know, mm-hmm. to try and prevent that, but please don't drive. Right. And, you know, making good lifestyle choices as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it starts young, you know, unfortunately, like we do, because we do a school program, you know, and oftentimes in the past we did lab work for kids and we had children with, you know, cholesterol sure. or markers that were high, you know, in seventh grade. And it's scary. And some of that may be hereditary. We know that. But some may be lifestyle, too.
Yes.
So, right, like you said, regular checkup with a primary care physician is so important. You know, another hot topic I want to talk about, too, is volunteers or getting people involved in, you know, EMS services. How important is that?
It's hugely important, especially today. If anybody wants to be involved or do volunteer work, please reach out to your local ambulance company, your local volunteer fire department. They would be more than happy to have you. Mm-hmm. There's training out there that's available. Right now, the state, as far as the EMT program, Emergency Medical Technician program, in rural areas, they're actually reimbursing the students for the EMT program
oh.
so that any monies that are put out by the organization or by the student themselves, they'll actually get those monies back. So it's almost like free training. And not only that, but, you know, you're helping your community as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, anyone out there maybe listening, right? Is there an age that they can start at?
A lot of organizations will have junior programs. I mm-hmm. think they probably start around age 14.
Mm-hmm.
But if they take the EMT program, they cannot take care of a patient by themselves in the back of the ambulance until they're at least 18.
Okay.
But they can still take the EMT program at 16,
mm-hmm.
be successful, pass, and take care of a patient if there's another provider in the back of that vehicle, EMT or paramedic, that's 18 or older.
Right, right. Which is a great, you know, process to have, I feel. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we know they're very responsible, 14-year-olds or 15-year-olds,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
But I think also things come with experience and time, right? So, you know, maybe they'll be matched with someone who's had a little bit more experience,
sure.
right? And that teamwork is so important out there. If someone is interested, could they give you a call if they're local, or is there should they go on a website and maybe get a number closer to where they live?
So the best thing to do is, depending on where they live, is to find out who their local ambulance provider is or fire department and
mm-hmm.
reach out to them directly.
Right, because there are some fire departments in our areas that also have their own EMS crew.
Yes,
right?
That is true. Yep.
Yeah, which is, you know, again, that's another organization, the fire departments, which, from my understanding, majority of them are volunteers.
Yes,
within,
that is
especially
correct.
In Wayne County.
Yes.
When we talk about an EMS, you know, many of them are also volunteers. And you can give as much time as you want, right?
That is correct. There's no time frame on how much time you need to volunteer, donate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you have that spark in you that you want to help people, right? And
yes.
You're interested in the medical field, but maybe you don't want to go to medical school. That's quite expensive, isn't it? And it's a long track.
It is, but, you know, on the other hand, you know, this is a door opener for people
mm-hmm.
who may want to take that career move.
Right, because you can learn a lot about emergency medicine. You know, riding in an ambulance and doing that work as a, you know, paramedic or an EMT.
Yes, yes.
Right?
We've seen many a physician start out with basic first aid and CPR at a young age,
mm-hmm.
go through the EMT program, paramedic program, and then either go to med school or go to PA school for
mm-hmm.
physician assistant, and then move on to become a doctor.
Right.
So.
And we also have many nurses, right? You have
yes,
many nurses
absolutely.
That work on the ambulance services.
We
and
have many pre-hospital registered nurses that,
mm-hmm.
that work with us, yes.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, is a great team effort. Quick question. If someone is interested in, you know, getting trained in CPR, how's the best way to go about that?
So there's a couple things they could do. They could reach out to their local ambulance company or fire company. A lot of those organizations provide CPR courses.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can reach out directly to the American Heart Association or the American Red Cross.
Right, great. Those are great resources too. And I know here at the hospital too, we have a great staff development team that, yes, you know, we do. They go out to different places and provide sometimes CPR training. AED is a little different because, like you said, you know, the company sometimes that provide that AED does training with the organization, but also that machine itself gives you great instructions on how to use it, right?
It does. And in today's current CPR certifications, the AED is incorporated in that training, along with training to administer Narcan for any sort of opiate overdose.
Right, right. And that could be another show in itself.
Sure
could. I'm sure. So, well, Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining the show today. I mean, the information you provided is invaluable to our community. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And again, this is Carol Knier, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. I want to thank you for joining us and have a great day.